What's up, everyone? It's Max Ashton out here on the Mac and MV show. We have here our wonderful privilege, English teacher here at the high school, Mr. William McCarthy, is here to speak with us today. Will, how are you doing today?
Hi, Mac, and studio audience. I'm doing fine.
Yeah, yeah. Now, here on the Mac and MV show, we talk all things about sports, and Mr. McCarthy wants to talk about something very near and dear to his heart. He watched the Soccer World Cup this summer.
I did.
And you noticed how much soccer really, it gets, like, there's no off-season for soccer. Because once the Euro League stops, another league starts up, or, like, the MLS is going on, and then, like, the Mexican League will start up. So there's always constant, or there's world play, there's World Cup play, like, group stages, stuff like that. Like, trying to get into friendlies, stuff like that. It's always starting up, so there's constantly soccer flowing, yet very rarely do you see soccer matches broadcasted on ESPN or ABC or NBC or anything. Never. I mean, so why do you think that? Because there's no soccer, like, we only see every once in a while a U.S. friendly or the World Cup. We never see soccer constantly. Why do you think it's such a, like, versus basketball, there's basketball on almost every night. Baseball now is on every night. So why do you think that soccer doesn't get the same attention, even though it's globally the best, the most watched sport?
Yeah, and I think if you watch, I mean, I basically was watching some of, what is it, Mac, FIFA?
Yeah.
So I was watching some of the FIFA games this summer. Mostly just my son was interested in it, and I would just sit down and take a gander at it and say, gee, you know, just be collegial here and take a look at the game. And I found myself, because I don't really know a lot about soccer, and I grew up, I'm of such an age that I grew up in a time when there weren't youth soccer leagues. It was all just the triad,
yeah, you know,
basketball, football, and baseball. And as I sat down and watched the games, I became so engrossed in them. They were so intense, especially these, you know, yeah, scoreless games or 1-1 ties, and as each minute ticked by, you know, it just got more and more intense. You get more and more wrapped up in it. And I thought, gee, what a terrific game this is. I like defensive contests anyway, yeah, in the sports that I do enjoy or regularly watch. And I thought, all right, yeah, I know that there's a lot of, you know, youth soccer leagues now, but why aren't we seeing more soccer on television? And yeah, this was no great blinding revelation or anything, but I'm like, well, the reason you're not seeing it is because there's no opportunity for commercials here.
Right.
I mean, the money is driving the whole thing.
Yeah.
You have 45 straight, flat-out minutes of action. Where are you going to sneak a commercial in there? You can't.
Right.
I can't imagine the game accommodating commercials in any way like you do in baseball, where you have an automatic commercial after the third batter is retired.
Yeah.
Or there's a review of a play or whatever. They're just automatic. And in football, it just seems as though anytime there's an injury or the turn of the ball, it's time for a commercial.
Yeah, same thing with basketball. It's like,
oh, yeah,
timeouts.
There's even TV timeouts.
There's TV timeouts in basketball.
Yeah.
So if you're like, I really need a timeout, but you don't, you know, the TV timeout's coming up in like 20 seconds. So why?
Yeah. So you can put commercials into the halftime, but then you're taking away from your halftime report,
right,
et cetera. There's no room for commercials. And I thought, QED.
Yeah.
You know? The reason that there's no big-time soccer television audience in this country is that there's no incentive, there's no monetary incentive to broadcast these shows,
yeah,
these sports events.
I mean, you look at it, people seem to, in the United States at least, over the World Cup, people seem to enjoy the soccer being played. Like, I myself would not categorize myself as a soccer fan, yet I watched, when we were still in school, I watched the games, I watched during study hall, I watched them at home. You know, they were a lot of fun to watch with your friends, to watch even alone. But for some, we were like, why don't we have this all the time? Because soccer is constantly going on. It's not like basketball where it's straight through till June and then you have the summer off. Like, it's on all the time. There's no off season in soccer. Like, once one league disappears, another league will start up. So, and it's such, and each league is such high level of competition. I think because the FIFA, they broadcast the FIFA World Cup because that's where all the talent is. That's where the best competition
is. Right, of course, yeah.
So it would make no sense to see lesser competition. You know what I mean? It's like if you...
I'm really not that interested in seeing, like, regular season games of what are some of the local, the Revolution,
yeah,
or, you know,
yeah,
the American, whatever they call it, the American Soccer League.
Because I feel like you see, like, you would see an NFL game, you wouldn't want to see an arena football game as well. Because that's dumbed down competition.
Yeah.
Versus, like, it's like soccer, you have FIFA for once every 4 years and you see all the best players come together. But if you had soccer stretched out throughout the whole year, you'd see, you know, there might be Ronaldo's over here for Real Madrid, but he doesn't play in this league with the Russian guy. I forget his name. You can't pronounce his name. It's like Skovedevich or something like that. Those two only meet in the World Cup. So it's really...
Well, I think that's a great point, Mac. For instance, you have to think of a league that you really would... You would consider them to be, you know, like really premier competition, like really top players in the world sort of thing.
The Barclays.
So we think, or, you know, I'm sure the NFL is thinking of, like, building a stadium in London now and trying to expand it to a worldwide, you know, sort of have overseas franchises in their league. I don't know why the British leagues, for instance, I don't know, what do you call them?
Barclays Premier is really the premier league in Western Europe, I would say. In Eastern Europe, it's different.
Okay.
There's plenty of different teams.
So that includes some of the British teams like Manchester?
Arsenal, Manchester United, there's big leagues like the Barclays, and then there's like leagues within Spain itself, and it's just like the Spanish league.
Right.
So... It's really...
Well, wouldn't those guys want to have a beachhead here the same way the NFL dreams of having a stadium in London? Wouldn't those guys want to kind of expand here, at least as a television market? And why haven't they? I mean, I think there would be a lot of support for that kind of really upper-level quality play that you see in these leagues.
I mean, I would think it'd be the same reason why we still don't have a team in London.
Because
Brits don't watch football.
Right.
Let's be honest. If we put them in front of a soccer game or they put them in front of a football game, yeah, some of the guys who really appreciate football will go to the football games, but soccer triumphs overall in Britain. Same thing where if we were to put a soccer game here, if we were to put a soccer team here, they'd be like, why bother? Because all the fans are just going to go see football instead of go see the soccer. Because you know how many people go see the Sporting Kansas City games, like, no one really goes to see those games. They might get, in Gillette Stadium for the New England Revolution, you might get half the stadium. You might get 40,000 people, which is still a great crowd. But for the Patriots, you get 80,000 people.
Right.
So I think that's probably why, as well, they're not expanding.
Well, I just think the game is exciting enough. You know, actually, just a side topic, really, but I was trying to imagine... what are the down periods in television viewership for sports, you know?
Yeah.
And certainly not during the NFL season, which runs from, you know, August now until February almost.
Yeah.
Basketball is a winter sport, although it runs to June, end of June now with the NBA playoffs. The NCAAs are over in basketball in early April. But sadly, baseball, I mean, I know a lot of people who know the score in the playoffs in baseball, and they see the highlights on ESPN of how Kansas City won, you know, eked out a victory.
Yeah.
But they don't watch the games. The games are 3 hours. How long was the Kansas City game? 6 hours?
Yeah, exactly. You
know? They don't watch the games anymore. Maybe in the summer. I mean, if you're trying to build an audience, maybe you... I don't want to pick on baseball because that would be somewhat sacrilegious. I love baseball. But even I don't see very many games, of course, of watching TV in the summer.
I talked about it before on the show. It was like, during the regular season, you don't really... go watch baseball. It's just regular season baseball. It's like, who, you know, it's on. There's 161 other games. You know what I mean? And they constantly broadcast baseball games on ESPN when there's nothing else on. So they just broadcast, you know, Kansas City versus Seattle. And you'll just see, like, who's going to watch that game? There's nothing interesting in that game unless Felix Hernandez is pitching, and he had a down year this
year. That's right.
So, I mean, it really, like, when you get, like, cursed, like, they only get those huge views when Kershaw is pitching, or when it's the Angels and the Dodgers, or like I saw, like you look at the statistics, the
Angels,
ratings,
Red Sox,
yeah. Reds, like you look at the statistics for national baseball televised baseball games. It was so much higher when Kershaw was the starting pitcher versus any other pitcher,
because
he's the highest paid pitcher in the league and he's probably the best pitcher in the league. So I just think that like baseball, it's weak during the regular season, but as soon as October 1st comes, everyone watches baseball.
So they have a fan base that attend games and probably catch some games in the course of a summer.
Yeah, you look at any baseball, like Cleveland Indians baseball, like someone hits a home run in the highlights, you see no one's in the stadium.
Right.
But if you go during the playoffs, the stadium is full.
Yeah.
I think it's the quality of baseball because the players feel like they're actually fighting for something. Like, if we don't win these four games, then we don't move on. Same thing with, but in the regular season, it's like we have 160 games. It's not going to matter if we lose this one.
Well, so, Mac, the bottom line is, do you think, am I wrong in saying, build it and they will come? In other words, if you televised Barclays, is that if you televised Barclays here on a regular weekly basis, had a couple of games, especially maybe in this, I don't know, the summer overlaps with when the height of their season is, or they're playing all year long, whatever. But if you were to somehow take the weaker sports schedule, whatever season that would be, perhaps baseball, the summertime, or whatever, and put Barclays and made it really like a sort of I don't know what to call it, NBC, CBS, ABC kind of thing.
Yeah.
Would you start to build a television audience? Or is the real thing, could that happen? Or is the real thing that they just are not going to do it because there's just not money to be made in it because there's not enough opportunities to run commercials?
I mean, I feel like it's this, like with TV shows, if it's a financial failure, then it's a financial failure and you can't really do anything about it. If they were to run, you know, a week of Barclays games, like you said, and no one watched it, they would have no choice. But, like, well, people aren't interested in this. Then why should we play it? You know what I mean? So I think that...
How are they making money on the Olympic games, then? Or not the FIFA games?
Because everyone is watching.
In the world.
Everyone watches that.
Okay.
So...
All right. That makes sense.
But, the Barclays is just like, whatever. It doesn't, like... the FIFA is like... it's the best, you put all the players into one cup and you're just like, you shake them up.
Yeah.
And everyone in the world watches
the
those.
World. And so it's just...
And they pay so much money for those rights.
For the rights to show it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because whereas you may not get a lot of advertisements, between games you get tons of advertisements. You get them before and after, right after every half, you get them right after every game. And... But the ratings are just so high with people watching it that you can't, because people just flock to the TV to watch those games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it was just a thought that I had. I thought that that was a significant piece of the puzzle as to why a game that I just found so riveting, when I actually sat down to watch it and I got sucked into it, and what I thought was going to be a 10-minute commitment became an entire game often enough. Why that isn't more available?
Exactly.
Nationally.
Now, while I still have you, you are an English teacher. Oh, that's the bell. You are an English teacher. Well, who is your favorite sports writer? Books, I'm saying.
Oh, I get most of my sports information, from the Times.
Yeah.
Articles in the Times, so I don't even know if I'm going to pronounce their names correctly. I think his name is Harvey Averton, and some of the other Times writers, and I'm not even going to come trivially to the tongue, their names. Back in the day, when I was reading things like, sorry, I'm from the New York area, when I was reading things like the New York Daily News, the New York Post, Mike Lupica, I thought that was a really interesting voice. He had a really interesting column.
Yeah.
For now, I have to admit that my sports, the discussions that I overhear about sports are more likely to be Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon on Pardon the Interruption.
Yeah.
And Keith Olbermann is back in the 5 o'clock spot.
Keith Olbermann is a pretty good guy. I like him.
He's over the top, but I mean that's his
shit, he has a lot of like views that he just parts out of people. And people are like, yeah. But like people are like, this dude's crazy. They go, yeah, that guy's making a lot of sense. Which is dangerous, I must say.
Well, he did the same thing on CNBC when he was a political reporter. So he had the same kind of approach, over-the-top approach. And that was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, I mean,
he makes it lively, that's for sure.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't really, the print media, I mean, the knee-jerk would be, oh, I love Roger Angel's books on baseball, but I haven't read them.
Isn't Ernest Hemingway kind of a sports author? Isn't he the... is Ernest Hemingway a sports author?
Well, deep sea fishing.
Sea fishing. Bullfighting.
Bullfighting. Hunting.
He might have... He's like extraordinary games. That's more of his thing.
Yeah, big game is more his thing. Yeah.
He was out there.
Yeah.
As far as sports are concerned.
Well, that whole... what was his book on bullfighting? Death in the Afternoon. What is... an amazing book that was.
Yeah. I never read, the only books we read for Ernest Hemingway was you assigned them to me. So
yeah.
In Our Time was a pretty good book, but oh well.
Yeah.
Mr. McCarthy, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
Good to be on. Thank you, Mac.